Hi, my name is Chikodile Malamadu, and I am the author of the short story, What to Do When Your Child Brings Home a Mummy Water. I haven't got a short story collection yet, but I've been pressured for a few years to do one. And I suppose when I do have one out, this story will be one of the stories therein.
Welcome to our limited series highlighting the 2020 shortlist of the AKO Kane Prize, an annual literature prize awarded to the writer of an African short story published in English. The prize was launched in 2000 to encourage and highlight the richness and diversity of African writing by bringing it to a wider audience internationally. The focus on the short story reflects the contemporary development of the African storytelling tradition.
The person I would probably wish to read my story would be myself at age 7 to 10. Because really, aren't we? We're all writing things that we wish we could read or have read, things that are informed by our experiences and the way that we see the world. So first and foremost, I think my young self, I would like to read this work. And then failing that, because I can't go back in time, maybe my children, and then anybody who is interested in African supernatural or fabulous tales. Primarily though, I will say that when I write for the Nigerian audience in mind. So I'm not one of those people that is keen on italicizing words that are not in English, because I'm not writing it for a primarily English audience. I'm writing it for a Nigerian audience. And so they're first and foremost in my mind. I don't feel like I have to explain myself to them by putting things in brackets or by translating things that don't need translating, because to me, they get it. And my justification for that is, I know we've all on the African continent read stories that had nothing to do with us, and we managed just fine without glossaries, and we've done that for decades. And so I think that our own stories, you know, should not have to center the outside audience. By outside, I mean the non-Nigerian or non-African audience, and I think that people will get it just fine. So I write for Nigerians, I write for people like me who are interested in the supernatural, in the otherworldly, people who believe that this world is not all there is, and there are, you know, there are veils to different worlds, or there are membranes between the worlds, and, you know, people who grew up like I did, where there is a strong belief in the fact that we are all just, we are not all there is, you know, and people don't just disappear after they die. They are on other planes, and we can interact with them at certain times or with certain rituals. And so I think that's primarily my audience, people for whom, who are not content with being in this world, and for whom this world is not all there is, people who believe in multiverses or parallel universes or reincarnation like Igbo people do, you know. Those are the people that I write for primarily. I mean, if you'd asked me who I'd told about being shortlisted for the Kane Prize in 2007, I'd be able to tell you was my mother, because she was in the same house as I was, and I had a newborn who was about, I don't know, 4 weeks, maybe less. That person you can hear screaming outside is not my child. but 2020, I think I don't know. I think I just kept it to myself, because I am better with embargoed stuff now. It was probably my son, because I think I was doing a little dance in the kitchen and he said, "What is it, Mama?" And I went, "Oh, I was just shortlisted for something," but like really coolly, so that he went, "Really? Oh, that's great." But you know, he's a kid. He just went back to what he was doing anyway. But I think I don't know who the first person I told was. I had to read the email twice to make sure, because, and this is a funny thing, but I think I'd forgotten that we'd entered me for the cane. And so It was out of the blue. Just I don't know who I told. I'm sorry. I don't think I'm your best interviewee for these questions. I don't know who the first person I told was, but whoever it was, thank you for not spilling, I guess, past the embargo. Yeah, but I mean, living up to 111 is has its own difficulties, doesn't it? Because more and more people die. You know, more of your peer group, they die. And so you're with my grandfather. He was a catechist, okay? So he was one of those people whose delight was in service to others, as well as being around in the community. And when he really started dying was after he fell down and shattered his hip, and he had to be bedbound and indoors. And very quickly, he lost his hearing, he lost his sight. It was as if his body just started to shut down because, you know, it wasn't serving other people anymore. So living to 111, it is a blessing for us, especially. But for him, you know, I think it was a lot harder because he couldn't move his body. And, you know, I don't know, like, it was just difficult for him. And obviously, like, he had to bury one of my uncles as well. And that's no good. You know, when you have an extra life and you have to bury your son, you know, so it's a blessing, but it also comes with a share of heartache and pain, I'm sure. So I would like to have him for my dinner and just treat him well and tell him, look, we're doing okay. You know, we still remember you. Your picture is in our houses, and I'll tell my kids about you and we love you. So I would like to have 6 of my ancestors, please. And maybe space for about 100 more and make it a banquet. I don't like to answer things like what could you not imagine living without, because we're human beings and human beings are highly adaptable. But I will say, I would answer in the vein of like the shows that made me to a large extent. And the one show that I grew up watching over and over again was Fame. Okay. So Fame featuring Debbie Allen, Lee Careri, Erica Gimple, that Fame, not the new one, the old one. And it made me yearn so much for a school of the arts, because it was supposed to be a school of the arts, but I was like Juilliard, you know. And I knew from when I was little that that was what I wanted to do. I wanted to be in a school where, you know, you had the limitless potential of exploring any facet of art that you wanted to. So there was drama, there was music, and music obviously had like different instruments or voice. Then there was, what else did they have? They had ballet, contemporary dance. They had so many things in Fame. And I grew up yearning with all my heart to attend a school like that. And it was such a shocker to find out that I couldn't, you know, because in Nigeria, we grew up with parents who, I mean, Nigerian parents, they kind of hothouse their kids, okay? And so we grew up with parents who, they want you to do well, and they want you to survive. And they want you to survive despite all that the world throws at you. And you have to understand, they grew up with parents. In my father's case, he grew up with a father who was alive during colonialism. And so they learned very quickly that when the colonial order was established, that their own order, the traditional order, quickly became something for the underdogs. And so if you wanted to keep up with what was happening, if you wanted to keep up with life, you had to commit fully to a Western education and a Western religion. Okay. And so they saw very quickly how the chief priests, who were at the time the richest people in the land, because they had people bringing offerings to them all the time. They never lacked for meat, and yet they weren't hunters. They never lacked for grain, and they weren't farmers. They never lacked for wives, because people would want to curry favor with the gods by giving them wives. They saw how quickly the system fell to ruin and to chaos. And these guys who were at the top you know, of society quickly became at the bottom, and they swore to do anything they could to embrace this lifestyle. And part of that was studying very hard and getting a job that was beneficial to people, so you are always needed, which is why we have a slew of doctors in my father's generation. I mean, but my parents are doctors. My dad's a surgeon, my mom is a doctor. You know, there's a reason for that. And so they really wanted that harshness that with which they made us face our education was, for them, it was their way of showing that they cared, because they wanted you to focus on something realistic. And Juilliard was not realistic. Juilliard was something that people who had everything could afford to attend, you know. And so it was a dream that, I mean, I think deep down, I'm really a frustrated theater actor. Like, I really still want to be there with my, oh, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo, you know, and all that stuff. Because, you know, that was what I grew up watching. So fame was such an instrumental part of me being the person I am. I mean, I have the original soundtrack on my Spotify. You know, we had both the film and the series, the later series. We had both. And so it's very hard as a child to have, you know, differing points of instruction, because your parents are telling you, yeah, this is, you can watch this, you can use your imagination, but you know, it has to be in a certain way. Your imagination is curtailed past this point. You know, if you really want to do well in this world and to have things and to have respect and to have access, you have to make sure that you're a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer, something that people need all the time. What to do when your child brings home a mummy water? Thank you for purchasing this material. This paper is not meant to advocate any position, but merely to help guide you on whatever path you choose with regards to your child's new mummy water paramour, companion, or girlfriend. We're working from the default position that your child is male and their partner is female, based on the statistics. The sheer numbers of mummy waters coming out of bodies of water in recent times is well above the numbers of their male counterparts, in brackets, a ratio of 5-1 compared to our human equivalent of 2-1. As are the letters from mothers and potential mothers-in-law, which led to this book being written in the first instance. This is not to discount same-sex human water relationships. However, this data has proven more difficult to collect and collate, as this group is more secretive and therefore difficult to access. This is due to the stiff penalties for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transsexual consortiums, and the supplementary punishment to the human party in such associations, and the threat of dry out tanks for the mummy water party. Before we proceed, you must first of all administer the mummy water tests, also known as mermaid spirit tests, in a number of churches. A frankly misleading term, since it is well known that mummy and papi waters are very much corporeal, and neither possess the permanent Piscean/sea life lower extremities that mark one out as a mer person. The tests. The first step is to establish whether your child's companion is benign or malevolent. Benign mummy water, BMW, should need no help crossing the threshold to your... I'll start again. I'll start from the tests. The tests. The first step is to establish whether your child's companion is benign or malevolent. Benign mummy water, BMW, should need no help crushing the... See, that I'm saying crushing the threshold again. Oh, stop it! Okay, start again. The tests. The first step is to establish whether your child's companion is benign or malevolent. Benign mummy water, BMW, should need no help crossing the threshold to your abode, but evil cannot pass on its own and will often need help from an innocent or the owners of the house. An invitation to enter will not automatically bestow permission. Look out for common tricks such as broken heels, brackets, requiring someone to carry them over, tripping, stumbling, or falling. As an aside, we recommend that parents ask to meet their child's paramo, or to use local parlance, morabo or bo, as soon as things move past the dating stage. Malevolent Mummy Water, MMW, are fond of public spaces, hotels, restaurants, bars and churches, to name a few. The upside is that since Mummy Waters are known to grant wealth on those to whom they bestow favour, one can be certain that one's offspring would not be squandering their financial resources on abortive ventures, but more on this later. There are two main ways of checking the Mummy Water status of your child's current relationship. A. Mirror, mirror. Mummy Waters are very beautiful and cannot resist the evidence of their own attractiveness. As such, they will stare at any reflective surface, windows, tumblers, pools of water collecting in the compound, and sometimes even spectacles. If your son's new girlfriend is looking you right in the eyes, chances are she's not looking at you but at herself. This is your first sign. Fish and seafood. This test is considered by many to be definitive, as we now know a Mummy Water will show aversion towards eating any of its kin from the sea. For indigens of River State, this testing has proven easiest to accomplish. Part of our research took us among the Oba peoples of the aforementioned state, whose custom includes a practice of presenting shredded fish with kola nut for visitors. I read the sentence again. Part of our research took us among the Oba people of the aforementioned state, whose custom includes a practice of presenting shredded fish with kola nut for visitors in place of the Osoji peanut sauce of their Igbo neighbors. This means that any uncertainty is quickly laid to rest before the Mummy or Papi Waters make themselves at home, if it is not one's intention to welcome them. Some of these beings have learned to disguise their disinclination for fish and seafood under animal rights, vegetarianism, or otherwise. I'll read that again. Some of these beings have learned to disguise their disinclination for fish and seafood under animal rights, vegetarianism, or otherwise veganism. But it is no matter. The fish or seafood need not be in whole flesh or lump form in order to be effective. As most Nigerian dishes entail the use of dried and ground crayfish, the test should be relatively easy to carry out. In its powdered state, crayfish, or even ground shrimp, will be undetectable to a human in trace amounts, and thus can be included in osoji during kola nut breaking rites. However, a mummy or papi water will be able to sense its presence, and it may reject the kola nut, a taboo and an insult to the host, which has its own ramifications. If the mummy water does go ahead to ingest the kola nut, there are signs to look out for. Positive reactions to this test include 1. Itching, mouth, eyes, throat. 2. Rashes or hives breaking out on the skin. 3. Vomiting. 4. Stomach cramps. 5. Wheezing. 6. Swelling of any body parts, eyes, ears, stomach or throat. 7. Optional. Rolling of eyes and or a sharp screaming, high-pitched enough to shatter glass objects. These symptoms argue the Independent Society for the Integration of Sea Organisms, ICSO, are undiscernible from anaphylaxis, a severe human reaction to food or other substances to which one is allergic. They have pointed out the inhumanity of attempting an induction of said reaction. Nevertheless, one may obtain the appropriate medication from one's GP, in brackets, or vet, if the GP does not or will not administer antihistamines for use on mummy water. The difference between an MW positive test and anaphylaxis is that administering an epi or Jexpen or Piriton or similar antihistamine does not immediately halt the reaction in its tracks, as it would in the case of anaphylaxis, and will require future... Okay, I'll start again. Not from the beginning of the sentence. I'll start from does not. Does not immediately halt the reaction in its tracks, as it would in the case of anaphylaxis, and will require further introduction of water-soluble Nutri-X packs, which mimic the salinity levels of the ocean. Again, you need to ask your vet for the proper medication if your GP would not administer Nutri-X for use on mammy waters. In the case of malevolent mammy or puppy waters, people have been known to simply let them expire. This is a clear breach of ethics. Please administer the prerequisite treatment and dial your local interspecies department for further advice on removing the mammy water from your home, should you desire. Be advised that this does not always work, and further action may be required. Your ID counselor will be able to help provide you. Your ID counselor will be able to provide you with help on this. If you do not wish them to remain and would like to attempt a forceful ejection of a mammy water or a malevolent puppy water from your home, see the section titled Forceful Ejection of a Mammy or Puppy Water from Your Home in this booklet.